Well, thank you, Sister Clark. I was thinking about it. The world's greatest music's been written about Emmanuel, God dwelling with us. Amen. And we'll never say it all. We just don't have it in the human race to say it all. But one day in heaven, we may spend eternity learning more about it. Amen. God could come and be with us. Well, my blessing this morning, Sonia and I got in last night from visiting the kids for Christmas up in West Virginia. And of course, you travel the roads today, you're really tired out from the traffic. So God was good to me. He sent one of my, I call them preacher boys, Walt Shepherd. You heard from Jay the other Wednesday night, and Walt is here. And he said he'd come clean up the mess that Jay left. But a couple of brothers called out of our midst to be preachers, doing a great job. Amen. Brother Walt Shepherd has been there now about 15 years. That's why I'm getting older. Up in Findlay, Ohio, doing a great job, building buildings all over the place. Maybe you'll mention something there. Started the church from zero. That's the big thing. And just got a tremendous work that God has raised up there. I've asked him to bring the message for us this morning. So you pray for him. Brother Walt, you come on and preach to us.
Well, it is good to be back. I was brought back to some memories the Lord did in our heart, in our family's heart, several years ago. In 1990, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I was in a bar just singing and watching the ball fall on a TV set with my friends. And I said, wow, this is a great, great thing to be here. And just couldn't believe how my life had just turned so much destruction, so much heartache. And a year later, I was sitting back, what was this area right here, on my knees, praying in the new year here, this Landmark Baptist Church. And this church here has been a landmark for my family. I would not be where I am had it not been for servants of God that God raised up and have used you in a special way. This is a very emotional time for me, coming back and seeing your faces and hearing Brother Carter's voice and just seeing this church. It's been a blessing, and I just appreciate you all being here. And this is strengthening for me. It really is. If you have your Bibles, I wish I had more time to just rehearse some of the things God has done with us, but let's get into this. Maybe tonight, Lord wills, we'll dig into something else if that happens. But if you have your Bibles, just go to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians 4, and we'll read a couple of verses here. And my family is not with me this morning. They're all sick, every one of them, except for my son, Jonathan, my 17-year-old. He was up most of the night with the sisters cleaning up their buckets that they, in. And getting them water, and one after the other, I would hear him up with them. And I found out that Jonathan was up with him most of the night helping his sisters. I said, Jonathan, you're probably sick too, because of that's not characteristic of you. And it's a real blessing to have him do that. But they're sick, and Jay's kids are all sick. So we'll see how we get through this. And if I exit left, you'll know what happened. But we'll see how Lord allows us to do this. Okay, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are the sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You pray with me and for me this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us. Thank you for grace, Lord, to gather. I pray your blessings on the reading of your word, and we pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we study, we learn, and we glean, Lord, from these nuggets that you've preserved for us. I pray that, God, if there's one that does not know you as Savior, Lord, that they would be pricked in their conscience and in their heart to give, Lord, their life to thee and, Lord, get saved. Lord, for those that perhaps are following afar off and and Lord, are becoming weary and well-doing, I pray you'd help them and bless them, Lord, as they're needing some encouragement. So strengthen the believers, and Lord, save the lost today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Interesting word here in Galatians chapter 4. It says here in verse 4, the word fullness. It says, but when the fullness of time was come. Now, I've compared that with other verses, and for time's sake, we don't need to go to all these. But over in Matthew 24, you'll find the disciples asking Jesus, when is the sign of the end of the world? What's the sign? What's the indicator, if you would, of when things are going to finish up? And if I were there, if I was just a fly on the wall, I'd be wanting to listen to every word that Jesus said when he spoke to his disciples in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. But he says in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, you find he references a time period. In Luke 21, he says that they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so there's another reference of that time period, a clock, if you would, the time of the Gentiles. The first reference was out of Galatians 4, the fullness of time. Here we're referencing a second time that's coming, a second coming that's about to approach. Romans 11 says something about that. In Romans 11, verse 25, a lot of the Calvinists really mess Romans 11 up with thinking that this is dealing with God's elected people that he chose for salvation. But when you read Romans 11, it's dealing with the nation of Israel and that relationship between Israel and the Gentile. And so let's rightly divide it. When he is explaining Paul through Romans 11, he says in verse 25, it says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Another reference to this time, this full time, this time that God has allowed to be full for another time to start. Now, with the Christmas season just a couple of days behind us, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 2. You'll find here how God started this time, if you would, in this one event that began a successive series of events that would come to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if you look in the book of Luke chapter 2, you'll find in verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Now, I don't need to go into all this, but Caesar Augustus was noted as being one of the most successful Caesars of Rome. And he is hailed as one that was innovative, one that was able to, he was a mover and shaker, if you would, of Rome in those days. But he does something here in verse number 1 that it starts something. It starts a clock. It says here in verse number 1 that Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. Now, verse number 2 says, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so now we find that this taxing, if you would, this decree that went out from Caesar Augustus, that whole the world should be taxed. Now, where did that come from? And the question that we have this morning before us is, what in the world is happening? What in the world? What in the world is happening in our world? You look around, you see what's happening in the Middle East. I just got back from Israel about 10 days ago. I was there in Kerem Shalom, down in the very southern part of Israel, of where the Gaza border is. I was there just a few feet away from the fence, and we were being briefed from the Rabshat, the security forces there in Kerem Shalom. And we were in the middle of this discussion, and both of the doors of where we were blown open by a bomb that went off 4 miles away from Egypt fighting ISIS. And just a few days later, a missile came across, and about 20 miles from us, it blew up and didn't hurt anybody. But you go to that part of the world and you ask the question, what in the world is happening? Why is this taking place? You got Hamas in Gaza. You have Hezbollah in Lebanon. You have ISIS in Egypt. You have ISIS in Syria. You have an unstable border all the way around Israel this morning. And there's some unfulfilled prophecies yet to be fulfilled. I've studied the scriptures, and I have been in love with prophecy, being under Brother Carter, surrendering to preach, and my life got turned around, and just loving prophecy. And think about the prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet. There's the battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Now, we don't know where that battle and when that takes place. Some say it's the tribulation period, the end of the tribulation period. Some say it's in the middle of the tribulation period. But we really don't know where that battle is placed in terms of time. There's a destruction of Damascus, the oldest continually inhabited city on planet Earth, and it still has not been brought to ruin as the Bible says it would. That's unfulfilled. You find another interesting prophecy, the prophecy of Elam, the grandson of Japheth, and where he settled. There's an interesting prophecy in Jeremiah about him that there'll be a dispersion. That hasn't happened yet. And then you have the Psalm 83 war. 10 nations that have a confederate against Israel. Again, has not happened. And I believe Psalm 83 is more than just a prayer. I believe it's a prophecy of something that's going to take place in Israel in the very near future. And I could go on and on of things that are I think, worthy to ask the question, what is happening in our world? Now, it's interesting as you look here that this event that happened, the first coming of Jesus Christ, if you would, started a clock. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and was born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, prophecy fulfilled. Over 354 prophecies of Jesus Christ fulfilled to the T, where he was born. Where he would die, how he would be crucified, what tribe he would come from. And all the way down, you find through the prophecies of the Old Testament where he would be in terms of time. And here, out of nowhere, a pagan king, Caesar Augustus, says, you know what? I got a good idea. Let's tax the whole world. Now, he had no idea who Joseph was. He had no idea who this expecting mother was that were up in Nazareth. Had no idea who they were. And as he was making this decree, it calls this man Joseph and his espoused wife to come from Nazareth down to Bethlehem in being great with child. 9 months, most likely, in pregnancy. Can you imagine traveling from Nazareth down through Jerusalem, that rugged traveling all the way back down to Bethlehem? Why did he do that? Well, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 21 that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And so as you look at these verses, you understand what in the world is happening. The question that we have before us this morning, I think, can be answered this way: exactly what God wants to happen. Now, you think about these events happen over centuries and centuries to bring about this particular decision. Four successive world empires, going from Babylon to the Medes and the Persians and to Greece and then finally Rome. And then during the rise and fall of these empires, God takes Israel and brings Israel and carries her into captivity. Brings Judah into captivity. You got the Assyrian captivity. You got Babylonian captivity. And God brought the remnant of children back into the land of captivity, rebuilt the walls, rebuilt the temple, and brought the land, if you would, back under a Roman rule for this man to be raised up, Caesar Augustus, to have something come into his heart to do something that God was ordaining and God was fulfilling out of the book of Micah. That is not happening by accident. What in the world was happening in these days is exactly what God wanted to happen. God was bringing about the fulfillment of prophecy. God was bringing about the fulfillment of what God said would take place using a pagan king, using someone that knew nothing about biblical prophecy, knew nothing about Joseph and Mary and Messiah. He's a pagan. So the question is, what in the world is happening? Look in Ezekiel 38. This brings us up to date. By the way, this morning, I got the news this morning, Damascus is under fire. As we speak right now, Damascus is out of control. Fires burning inside its city. As we speak right now, there are things happening in the Middle East that are eerily similar to what we're reading here in Ezekiel 38. Pick it up, if you would, in verse number 1. And I'm not going to read all of this, but let's just look at this interesting verse here. Verse 1 of Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, watch this. Set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog. Now the phrase here, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, we're not going to do this right now, but we could take some good time here to prove what Gog and Magog is. But many scholars believe that when you're reading Gog and Magog, you're reading the land presently that is occupied by Russia. In verse number 3, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, you'll find here God is speaking to a prince. God is speaking to the prince of Meshach, and he's speaking to the prince of Tubal. Maybe the same prince, or maybe two different princes. I don't know that. But God is speaking to these princes. Now, if you think about it, all the things that are happening here in the Middle East, the investment of military equipment by Russia into the Middle East, even the most skeptical prophecy teacher today would believe something significant happened when that took place just a few months ago. Now look at Daniel chapter 10. Let's see something interesting here, comparing these verses. Chief prince of Meshach, Ezekiel 38. Chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, Ezekiel 38 and verse number 3. Let's see what that possibly means. Daniel chapter 10. I'm not going to read all this, but look down if you would in verse number 20. Then he said, Daniel 10, verse 20. Then he said, knowest thou wherefore I have come unto thee? And now I will return with the prince of what? Persia. Now Michael here, the angel, is telling Daniel a vision, telling Daniel why the prayer was even hindered because of the spiritual warfare that was taking place. And after this, he says, now I'm going to return. And he says, the prince of Persia, a reference to a prince, a reference to someone or something that was over an area. If you look here in verse number 20, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now, Michael, the archangel, is not speaking about a physical prince. He is speaking about a demon, if you would. A demon, if you would, of Grecia and a demon of Persia or present-day Iran. Now, this interesting is verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And so if you can compare a couple of things, Ezekiel 38 is referencing a prince of Meshach and Tubal. And God says later in that chapter that he is going to take hooks and put them in the jaws and bring them down to a land of unwalled village, a land of the people that have been brought back by sword, a nation out of nations. And in your generation here, prior to 1948, your generation, those that were born before 1948, you have seen the rebirth of a nation that has never happened in human history before. You've seen that. You've seen on May 14th, 1948, when David Ben-Gurion sat down and signed a declaration declaring Israel as a nation, a sovereign nation. It's never happened in human history. And your nation, your generation has seen that. And your generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. I believe we're at the doorstep of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, Anytime you see things happening in the physical world, I believe there is a spiritual world that is orchestrating things behind the scenes. Over in Paris, when the terrorists came into the concert hall and began to mercilessly kill people in that concert hall, there was a reference in the news media of the name of the group that was singing, Eagles of Death Metal. Now, as soon as I heard that, I had to think to myself, there has to be something more to the story than just a rock group singing when people are dancing. So I did some more research to find out that the person that was leading the particular group, Eagles of Death Metal, can't even say it, his name is actually called Satan. He likes to be referenced as Satan. When he was singing the song that the terrorists came in on, the song's name was Kiss the Devil. The people there, the last picture shown, you'll find several references with their hands in the air with the satanic sign, wanting a manifestation of Satan in that song. And remember what Satan has come to do, to kill and to destroy. They got the manifestation of that song when the terrorists came in and destroyed dozens and dozens of people's lives, killing them. Eagles of Death singing that song. And as you look at the physical world, behind it is a spiritual world that is orchestrating things that are taking place. Russia now has invested more surface-to-air missiles in the Middle East. As you know, the Russian fighter was shot down. Turkmen fighters reportedly shooting that plane down were there rejoicing that they were able to kill one of the pilots as they were coming down in the parachutes. Russia now is sending cruisers to the Middle East. S-400 surface-to-air missile systems are being deployed. U.S. and French jets now have arrived last week in Iraq. The USS Harry Truman is now en route to the Middle East. French aircraft carriers Charles de Gaulle and others are now being deployed into the Middle East. German jets are being deployed. German Gomer, Ezekiel 38. German troops are being deployed. Japan is sending troops into Syria. U.S. Special Forces are being deployed. Russia is sending in its Special Forces. Russia sending 150,000 ground troops. Turkey is supplying weapons to ISIS as we speak. ISIS has been selling oil to Turkey. It's a mess. Yes. It is a mess. And all these events, I believe, are being orchestrated by a heavenly Father to bring about a promise. The promise of another coming. The promise of a second advent, a return of Jesus Christ. Caesar Augustus was used by God to bring about Bible prophecy. And I believe Vladimir Putin and the other world leaders are also being used as unsaved leaders to bring about Bible prophecy. We're seeing that happen, folks. Before our very eyes, our ears are hearing what the church age would have loved to hear. Our eyes are beholding things that the entire church age would love to be able to see. And we see it coming to pass. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, a hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort one another, yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also do ye. In relation to the second coming of Jesus Christ, promises are being fulfilled. God is speaking to world leaders. They have no idea what he's doing. But he's speaking to princes, bringing them down to a very strategic area of the world, Jerusalem. A day and time to be alive, an exciting time to be alive. As I noted, we read the story of Bethlehem. I was escorted by two Israeli police officers into Bethlehem 2 weeks ago. We stepped in Bethlehem, and it's not a place that is peaceful. If looks could kill, we would have been dead 1,000 times. They took us by gun escort in, and then worked us back out of that city. And I thought to myself, this place, the birthplace of a Savior. And as I looked out from there over to Jerusalem, I said, everything is going to end right here. And we're so close. I heard jets flying, Israeli jets flying up and down the Mediterranean, patrolling. As I noted, the bombs that we heard going off in Egypt, ISIS, the investment of a world empire right now, a world leader right now, Russia, into the Middle East, all Bible prophecy that's coming to pass. So Caesar Augustus, what in the world is happening in your world, Caesar? I don't know, I just have to tax the world. That's all I'm supposed to know. What are you doing, Vladimir Putin? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing there. It's a mess, isn't it? But it's all God's plan. So serve him. Serve him. Know him. Love him. Dedicate yourself to his cause. Let's pray, and Brother Carter, you can come. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for church. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible that's so perfect. You make no mistakes. Absolute perfection in your predictions. Thank you for 354 prophecies fulfilled to the T. Thank you for these Bible prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled, and we're seeing the paintbrush starting now to make it clearer of what you're doing. And give grace to these